Father, we just thank you for this opportunity we have to share together the precious Word of God. I pray, Father, that through the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that you would speak into each and every heart and life, and Lord, that you would help us to understand it in a way that we apply it in our lives and live it out, that we are doers of the Word, not hearers only, deceiving our own selves. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, one night, a wife found her husband standing over their baby's crib, and she stood and watched him for a moment as he was staring down into the crib, and she saw in his face emotion, disbelief, delight, and amazement. So she slipped up behind him and put her arm around his shoulder, and she said, "A penny for your thoughts." He said, "It's amazing. I just can't see how they can make a crib like this for $99.95. Well, husband and wives are different, aren't they? We're in a series right now called One Another. In this series, we are learning about how we are to treat one another in the body of Christ, how we, well, treat one another the way that the Bible says to. And when the Bible uses this phrase, one another, it frequently gives us a practical way to live out Christ's command to love one another. So each week, we're going to focus on doing what we've heard. I believe it is life-changing. I believe it is church-changing. And it's important that we apply the Word of God to our lives, not just being hearers only. When we hear the Bible and we don't do it, the Scripture says very plainly that we deceive our own self. It's one thing to be deceived by somebody else, but how terrible to deceive yourself. And so I encourage you this morning to hear the Word of the Lord and really seek and desire to apply it in your life. I think this message this morning is somewhat challenging, and at the same time, it's simple enough that anybody can do it. So I'm going to tell you, I'm going to make some of you a little uncomfortable. That probably made you uncomfortable for me to just say that, right? But sometimes it's a good thing for us to be uncomfortable, because sometimes when we get a little uncomfortable, it helps us change. It gets us to a place where we're ready to change. Although I hope it doesn't want you to change churches, just maybe change on the inside a little bit. But this morning, the message is that we are to be affectionate with one another. Romans 12 and 10 says, "Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love." This is one of those areas I think that our church does a pretty good job. But I have to tell you that I see in the Scripture a closeness among the believers in the early church that just doesn't really happen much in the church in America today. We need to be more affectionate. Now, some of you husbands, you're probably thinking, "Yeah, that's what my wife says." Well, that's not exactly what we're talking about. But we are talking about our relationships with one another, with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Listen, how we relate to each other, we need to be more affectionate. And I just have to say this before we go any further. This is the Word of God. You can have whatever opinion you want to. You can believe whatever you want to. And you can disregard this and say, "Oh, well, that's not a big deal." I'm just telling you, this is what the Scripture says. This is the Word of God. Amen. Be kindly affectionate one to another in brotherly love. And it is important. If we want to be the church that Jesus wants us to be, I'm telling you, we need to take heed to the Word of God. I think that it is a message that is critical in our becoming a church that treats one another the way that the Bible says to. How can we share His love with one another on a daily basis? It is simply in the way we treat each other, the way that we talk to each other, and even in the way that we greet each other. It is being affectionate with one another. Affectionate means that you freely express your fondness, your feelings for someone in your words and actions. Now, in the body of Christ, we need to understand the love of God, and we talked about this last week. His love, agape love, is a selfless, giving love. It is unconditional. And that is what the Bible is talking about when it says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." That is what the Bible is talking about when Jesus says, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you." So yes, certainly we love one another with the love of God. But here, we are also commanded to love each other with brotherly love. It is that kind of love that you have for family and close friends. And listen, we're supposed to have that in the body of Christ. Yes, we love one another with the love of God. We love our neighbor as ourselves, and we love even our enemies with the love of God. But in the body of Christ, we're also supposed to love one another with a brotherly love. It is the same kind of love that, in fact, the same word would be used for the way that a parent loves their child. That family kind of love. Now, if someone had affectionate parents, that means that they had parents that frequently hugged them and kissed them and told them that they love them. That would be an affectionate parent. And this is talking about the affection of family. It's the kind of affection that you have for your family. How we're supposed to treat our brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, in the New Testament, they refer to other believers as brothers. And in the church culture of the day, that is considered to be so outdated. I mean, we're just way too cool for that. That's old-fashioned. That's old school. We don't do that anymore. Well, I want you to understand, I'm not going to say that we need to call each other brother or sister. What I am going to say is that what has been lost is that sense of family, that we really are family. That's the way it's supposed to be in the church, that we're like family. See, it wasn't just some pretend thing for them when they called each other brothers. They looked at each other as spiritual family. And that has been lost in the church in America today. We might know the concept, but it's not really being lived out. We live in a time when the attitude of so many is that they can just kind of take or leave the people at church. No big deal. They just come and go. And that's not family. We have this consumer mentality about church. It's not family. We're missing it. We're supposed to have love for one another just like a family. Have that closeness that the early church had. We know we have to have the love of God, but there's a reason the Scripture also tells us to love one another with the love of family, with the affection of family. See, when the Scripture says, "Be kindly affectionate to one another," it's telling us that we are to show each other that we care for one another like family. with brotherly love. Now, the word here for love, when it says brotherly love, it's the word Philadelphia. And I have to tell you, when I was a kid growing up, whenever I heard the word Philadelphia, I didn't think of love. I thought of the Eagles, the team we love to hate. But that's what that word actually means, is brotherly love. And it is that sense that you have for family that they're your own. It's that affection that you have for family. I realize in our culture, family isn't necessarily always a good example, because there are many families that are not close to one another and maybe even don't love one another. But in the church, we have this scriptural mandate to be affectionate toward one another in brotherly love. Jesus said, "My mother, my brothers, my sisters are those who do the will of God." We need to understand that spiritual family is even stronger than earthly family. I'm not knocking earthly family. That's wonderful. But our spiritual family is even more important to us. They say blood is thicker than water. The blood of Jesus is even thicker. I'm telling you, what binds us together for all eternity. And we are to be affectionate with one another. I think it was easier for the early church to be affectionate with one another because they were so persecuted. They were outcasts. Many times they were just a small minority. And so they felt this bond, this closeness. And the church in America has lost that. We take for granted our brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, it's kind of cool when you meet someone, you come across someone that you have a whole lot in common with, and past experiences that you both have shared and things you've been through, or maybe common likes and dislikes, and you can get close to a person like that real quick. And sometimes people that went to a certain college are quick to befriend others that went to the same college and maybe even show preferential treatment to them, like Texas X's and Aggies and Frogs. They all do it. I've heard of stories where a job candidate got a job because, well, just because the boss went to the same school. Now, can you imagine how you would feel if you went to a foreign country that was 99% Muslim, and one day you come across a Bible-believing Christian, a born-again Christian? You would probably be excited. You would probably want to talk to them. I mean, in the midst of all these people who don't share your faith, here's this one person that you can talk to about Jesus, and you know that they get it. They know what you're talking about. Here's this person that maybe you can even pray with and have them pray with you. You would be excited to see that person because there's a spiritual bond there. Do you realize that that same spiritual bond is just as real with every Christian that you cross paths with now? But we take it for granted. And so often, we just ignore it. But we're supposed to be like family. Have so much in common. And yet so often, we don't even realize it. I think in part it's a reflection of this crowded society we live in, where we cross paths with so many people that we don't even speak much of the time, much less to really have an interest in people. But in church, it shouldn't be that way. The people that we cross paths with in church are our brothers and sisters. They are our fellow soldiers. They're the ones that will stand with you and fight for you when you are going through a battle. They're the ones that you can count on when you're in a real struggle. there's no way that you could possibly be close to everybody, but you should be close to some believers, and you should consider all to be your spiritual family. See, too often when somebody's going through a struggle or a battle, they feel like they're all alone. And sometimes they leave the church. We need to have the kind of relationships with one another that when somebody leaves, we know it and we feel it. When somebody's going through a struggle, we feel that struggle with them. You know, when it comes to showing affection to one another, I think that for the most part, the church as a whole isn't much different than the world around us. And it should be. Right now, especially. The world is so divided, so full of anger, all kinds of bitterness. People live in crowded cities, and yet they feel lonely. It shouldn't be that way in the church. No, when people come to church, they should feel loved. They should feel wanted. They should feel like this is a place where I can come and I can be blessed. I can be ministered to and other people care for me. We don't say things that hurt and divide. We build up and heal. But no matter what happens, we stick together as family. If the world will know that we're His disciples by our love for one another, how do they see that? How do they know that? Well, maybe the best evidence, as I said last week, would be some big act of kindness or generosity or serving. But what we're talking about today is something that they can see every day in our life. That we really do care about each other because of the way that we treat each other, talk to each other. It is being affectionate. It is considering each other as family. Oh, how the world needs to see that in the church. Now, I know some of you are probably thinking, it's not really necessary, you know, for me to express it. I feel it in my heart. That doesn't work with your wife and kids, and it doesn't work with the Lord. He wants you. See, some people use that same attitude when it comes to the Lord. Well, He knows how I feel. He knows my heart. He still wants you to give Him thanks and praise Him and worship Him. And I'm just telling you that with our church family, we do need to express it. You know, 70, 80 years ago, it was common that many fathers didn't really express affection to their kids, and some of them just didn't feel like it was necessary, but their children many times grew up not really feeling loved by their fathers because of that lack of affection. And it's the same way still today with many husband and wife relationships. Many men think it's unnecessary to express their affection to their wife. You know, I told you I loved you when I married you. Why do I need to tell you again? And a lot of wives feel unloved and take it for granted simply because of the lack of affection. And even in the body of Christ, many times people come to church and they don't feel loved. And we say to ourselves, oh, but we love them. We love them. We love them. But they don't feel loved because we don't show them. We don't express it to them. And so the Scripture tells us, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love. The sad truth is that a lot of people have left the church simply because they didn't feel loved. When I was born again, a lady led me to the Lord, and then she invited me to church, and so I went to church with her, and it was kind of a big church. There was probably 60 to 70 teenagers there from my high school, and none of them spoke to me. None of them talked to me, and it didn't offend me. I didn't even think anything about it because I knew many of them from school, and they didn't talk to me there, and so when I went to church, I didn't expect them to talk to me. It was just seemed normal to me. But I found the service to be kind of boring. And I really didn't see any need to go to church. I could pray, I could read my Bible. Didn't want to go back, and I didn't. For 6 months, I didn't go to church. And then one day, a young lady at school said, "I want you to come to my church." And I was like, "Okay, I'll come." Just to clarify to you, this was not somebody I ever dated. It was just somebody that I knew as a friend. And they invited me to come to church, so I went to this church. And it was the strangest thing. Everybody acted like they were excited that I was there. They were so glad. They hugged me. They talked to me. They called me during the week. And they said, "Now you're coming back next week, right?" I went Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I went to prayer meetings. I went to everything. I totally dedicated my life to the Lord, got filled with the Holy Spirit, called into the ministry, been going ever since. And you know what? I'm strong enough today, I can make it without anybody being affectionate to me. But I'm telling you, there's a whole lot of people that need that. I need it. Sure, we can say, well, they should be able to serve Jesus whether somebody shows them or tells them they care about them. We need to do that. It makes this road easier. It helps when people love on you and care for you and are affectionate toward you. I read an article this week that said of 60-somethings, 20% of them say, "I used to go to church, but don't go anymore." Of millennials, 50% say, "I used to go to church, but I don't go anymore." Something's got to change, church. We got to make it such that whether they are born again or not, they feel like, "Hey, I need to go to church." There's a whole lot of born again people, at least who claim to be Christian, who don't go to church, and they see no need to go to church. But if they had a place where they were really loved and cared for, and there was a group of people that was like family to them, they'll be in church. What the enemy is doing with the church in America, of turning it into just an event, you know, where people just go and be entertained for a while, that's not church. We are the church. The relationships we have with one another are so important, and we have to take this as a scriptural mandate when he says, be affectionate with one another in brotherly love. I think that the Lord will use that to stop that deception that Christians don't need to go to church. 1 Peter 1:22 says, "Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart." Love one another fervently. That is not, "Oh yeah, sure, I love everybody. Sure, whatever." Love one another fervently. Another translation says warmly. It's not just laid back, yeah, whatever. No, we got to really do this. And he says, with a pure heart. There shouldn't be any other motivation in our heart than just to share the love of God, to love one another. You know, one of the simplest ways we can live this out and show our love for one another is the way that we greet one another. I think it's important that we make this simple. And this is just one thing, but it is a very simple thing that we can do every day. Now, the next verse that we're going to talk about needs to be prefaced with this. We are going for the spirit of the law, not the letter. We live in a different culture than the culture that this was first written to, but we still need to apply the spirit of the word. There's a reason that it's there for us. In fact, I'm going to ask the ushers to just go ahead and lock the doors before we read this verse. And if that scared you, well, our doors don't lock. But anyway, Romans 16:16 says, greet one another with a holy kiss. Oh my. Listen, in the letter of the law, that is a cultural concept. There are many cultures still today where that is practiced all the time, not just amongst Christians, but it's just the culture of their country where they greet one another with a kiss on both sides of the cheek. Sometimes they hate each other, but they still do it. It is just a formality that they go through. Here in Texas, it'll get you punched. Yeah. I had a guy kiss me, it was an old friend, but kissed me at a funeral one time. I was on the front row at this funeral and I couldn't punch him. So. When I first went to Bible college, the very first day everybody's checking into their dorms and everything, and there's kind of an excitement. People are excited about being there. There's just kind of a spontaneous prayer meeting that started out on the lawn. There was a little group of us, and we were just testifying, and we sang some songs, and we prayed together. And then this one guy, he says, well, I think we should just greet one another with the holy kiss. Man, he killed that prayer meeting. I'm just telling you. The letter kills, the spirit gives life. But it was like, hey, I gotta go. We'll see ya. We were all done. So I want you to understand that he's talking about something that is very real, but something we need to understand the spirit of, not in the letter of the law. You see, the principle is that we greet one another warmly. That we express, that we show we actually care for each other in the way that we greet one another. It shouldn't be just a mere formality, but something we do sincerely. See, sometimes we act just like the world about this. We greet one another as just a formality. We say, hey, how are you doing? We don't even care. I read a story about one pastor who was speaking to people as he walked by. He said to one young man, he said, how are you doing? And he just kept walking. Well, in a minute, another brother came and got him and he said, pastor, I don't think you realize what you just did. He said, why? What happened? He said, you just asked that young man over there how he was doing, and he started telling you that his brother was in an accident this morning, and you just walked off. Well, of course, the pastor felt awful, and he tried to, make amends. But I just got to tell you that we all need to be careful that we're not just going through a formality. We actually care for one another. We actually are concerned for each other, and we want one another. We want the ones we speak to know that we love them and we care for them. It's important in the body of Christ. In fact, did you know that 4 times the Bible says, greet one another with a holy kiss? When the Bible says something 4 times, there's something that we need to get. And the message is that we greet one another warmly, affectionately. Now, we live in a world that can be hard. It feels good to see your brothers and sisters in the Lord and have somebody excited to see you. We know God loves us, but isn't it nice sometimes to just have the human touch? You see, it helps us feel and experience His love in a very real way when we have church family who loves on us, who's excited to see us, who gives us a hug. I tell you, I like it when somebody's glad to see me. When I get home, I hope there's somebody glad to see me. At church, I like it when somebody's glad to see me. Even when I'm out at a restaurant and somebody recognizes me, somebody I know, I like it when they're glad to see me, excited to see me. You know, on Sunday mornings, when I see Siamata, now if y'all don't know who Siamata is, well, you should come to first service sometime. How many of you know Siamata? Oh, wow, see there? When I see Siamata, I know that Siamata's going to give me a big smile, she's going to give me a big hug, and she's going to say something nice to me. I like to see Siamata. She makes me feel good, makes me feel loved. Another one that comes to the first service, y'all going to have to come to first service to meet some of these people, but I'm telling you, is Brother Joel Strickland. Brother Al Strickland's son, he still brings his mother, Joel Strickland. So many times I see Joel, I stick my hand out and say, "Hey Joel, how are you?" You know what he does? He doesn't ever shake my hand. He goes, "I'm learning. When I see him, I don't stick my hand out much anymore. Most of the time, I just go ahead and hug him." Now, I want to tell you, well, first of all, we need more people like that. I know, you know, Siamata is so gifted at making people feel welcome, and we have others that are as well. And I just say, I admire Joel, and I want to be more like him. It's not always appropriate to give somebody a hug, and we'll talk about that a little bit. But I'm just saying, we need that kind of affection, that brotherly love for one another. Greet one another warmly. Some think it doesn't matter. And what is so common in the church today is just to ignore one another. It absolutely amazes me that there are some Christians who won't even speak to another believer, and yet they consider themselves right with God. Years ago, there was a time when I could walk down the church hall and people who considered themselves to be spiritual people would not speak to me. They hated me so much, they would just fix their eyes down the hall and walk past me even when I spoke to them. And yet they considered themselves to be spiritual people. What does the world think when they see that kind of stuff? Hypocrite. That's what they think. And so often, that's what they say about church people. Church, we're supposed to love one another with a brotherly love. And we're supposed to be affectionate with one another. When we're not, you see, when people are bitter, full of unforgiveness, full of anger, it grieves the Holy Spirit. I also want you to see in that verse in Romans 16 where he says, "Greet one another with a holy kiss." It's a holy kiss. And when we greet one another, it should never be improper in any way. It should be the same way that you would greet your own brother or sister. And in the time that we live in, I just have to tell you, and I know some of you can identify with this, I feel uncomfortable many times in hugging people because I'm afraid somebody will take it the wrong way. So the Living Bible, instead of saying greet one another with a holy kiss, it says with a warm handshake. It just kind of interprets it for our culture, but it says with a warm handshake. And I just got to say, you see, you got to be led of the Spirit and use wisdom. Sometimes some people don't want to be hugged. Don't hug them. Sometimes a handshake is the best thing. Sometimes maybe just a big smile and saying something nice to somebody. But greet one another warmly. Use discretion, especially with the opposite sex. We had one well-meaning brother who would greet people in the church foyer. And as some of the women would come through the doors, he would say, "Hello, beautiful." And I knew this guy didn't mean anything by it. He was just being friendly. But one day, a woman came. She'd been coming for several weeks, and her husband had never come. And so one day, her husband comes with her. And as she comes in through the door, this guy says, "Hello, beautiful." And I saw the look on that husband's face. It was not a happy face. And they never came back. And my point is simply that you got to use discretion and be wise in how you greet people of the opposite sex. We don't want to give the enemy an opportunity to do harm to somebody. No, we want it to be a blessing. So always use wisdom that your friendliness and your affection is not taken the wrong way. I didn't say that you meant it the wrong way. That guy didn't mean it that way, but it was taken the wrong way. And so you always have to be careful. We all like to be liked. You know, we talked about last week how we love one another, not just with a warm affection, but we love one another no matter how we feel, and that is right. But isn't it nice when somebody likes you? I mean, I hope you don't love me just like you love your enemies. I hope you also like me. We all like to be liked. Now, if you don't like very many people, I want to challenge you to change your attitude. That's a miserable way to live. And if you don't like very many people, I'm going to tell you this. You won't have very many friends, and not very many people will like you. So, if you don't like very many people, start looking for the good in people. Find something to like. Don't focus on their faults, the negatives, but decide that you're going to like people. Because the Bible says to be affectionate one to another in brotherly love. The Bible also says in Proverbs 18:24, a man who has friends must himself be friendly. So decide you're going to be friendly and you're going to like people. And I'll tell you, you'll find yourself feeling more and more loved. Let them know that you care about them. Reach out to other people. You may have to lay down some old attitudes. You may have to do away with some behavior patterns that you've had for decades. You might have to put away some old hurts, some things that maybe have impacted the way that you treat other people. And sometimes you might even have to be a little bit uncomfortable as you learn to be different. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. Be doers of the word. We got to live this word out. I believe it's life-changing and church-changing. Stand with me. We're going to pray. I'd like for our prayer partners to go ahead and come. My Father, I just ask you that you help us. Help us to do this in a way that glorifies you, in a way that blesses others, and in a way that can be a witness to the world that our faith is genuine, that we are without hypocrisy, that we truly love one another and care for one another. I pray, Father, that you help us to do this. In Jesus' name, amen. Before we dismiss, I want to let you know that as we dismiss, it's a great opportunity for you to come for prayer. Maybe you've come to this service today wondering what this is all about. Is this real? I want you to know that Jesus loves you more than anyone, and he died on the cross for your sins. And if you want to become a Christian or you want to talk to somebody about that, I encourage you to come and let one of our prayer partners talk with you and pray with you. Some of you here today, I know, are dealing with past hurts that you've experienced in church and with church people. And I just encourage you to come for prayer. Let God heal those hurts and do a work in your heart. And if you're struggling with the message today, I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit can help you. Come for prayer. Whatever prayer need you might have, you're welcome to come. We'd be glad to pray with you. So as I speak the blessing over the congregation and we dismiss, if you want prayer, you come. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.